All righty. Just take your Bibles tonight and turn to Proverbs chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 3 and Matthew chapter 8. And I'll tell you what, the Lord is blessing. Amen.
Yes.
Now, when the devil gets to messing, God starts blessing.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Praise God. The Lord is good. And I tell you what, it's so good to hear what the Lord is doing for her son and their family. God still works miracles.
Yes.
Sister Dorothy, God works miracles. And he's going to work some miracles for you. Because
yes.
He is great and does miracles.
Yes.
Sometimes in the nick of time.
Yes.
And so we've been talking about choosing and choices. And we've talked about, and the pastor's, his part is he's been focusing on, I choose prayer. Say that with me. I choose prayer. And then I mentioned to you last time, I choose joy. And I talked to you about choosing joy. Sometimes you have to choose joy. Sometimes they don't feel, it didn't say feel joy all the time, but you can choose joy all the time. And so tonight, we want to continue on with choose. I choose trust. Now, one of the things about choice is you are free to choose. Thank you, Lord, for free will. Amen. You are free to choose. How many of you are married tonight? Let me see your hand. Let me see you've been married. All right. Did you know that your spouse is the expression of your ability to choose? So it says a lot about you when you chose your spouse. Amen. Amen. So if you're so just think now, if Darnell's a great person, just know that I chose her. Amen. And I believe she is. Praise the Lord. And but also in choices, you are free to choose, but you're not free from the consequences of your choice. And I love this statement here that you can make your choice, and then your choice will make you. And that can be for the positive or for the negative. So choices are very important. And tonight I want to talk to you about choosing to trust God. The songwriter said, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Would you stand with me tonight? Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, one of the greatest passages in the Word of God on the subject of trust. And if you're there, would you say amen?
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. And don't forget on our Facebook page to help us out. And you can help us out whenever you see a post from Westmoreland. If you'll immediately do two things, hit the like button and also hit the share button. And that will help us to get the word out there. So thank you for doing that. And by the way, do you like it? Amen. Sure. And wouldn't you like to share it? Amen. So if you ever get a post or ever see a post about Westmoreland, don't just scroll by. Go ahead and help us out by hitting like and also to hitting the share button as well. And we have been on Instagram. We're going to resume that. We've been off of it for a few weeks. And so we're going to be on Instagram as well. And we do have a Twitter. We haven't done a lot with the tweets yet, but we're getting ready to. In the fall, as we're getting into the fall, we're going to be making some, I don't want to say changes. They're not changes, but we're going to be refocusing on some more of our media aspect of our church, because that's where the people are. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody say amen.
Amen.
All right, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with what? And lean not unto thine. In how many of thy ways? Acknowledge him, and he will do what? Now, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 8, because I want to tie this in with when the disciples were on the boat and a storm came up. Because they were directed by the Lord. They had acknowledged him. But some problems came up. And we're going to learn some great lessons on the choices they made when it came to trust. And I pray tonight that you will choose to trust the Lord. He is on the throne. He is up to something. He is good all the time. And all the time he is good. And when I can't understand, I can just hold to his hand. All right, Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose, O glory, and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. The men marveled, saying, read that last verse with me. What manner of man is this, that even the winds and seas obey him? Father, bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Help us to choose trust. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're glad to see them tonight before you're seated. Tell them you are glad they're in the house of the Lord on a Wednesday night. Hallelujah. I want to start out with this statement. We have to choose to trust God even when it doesn't make sense. I'm going to repeat that. We have to choose to trust God even when it does not make sense. And so that's what happens in our passage tonight. The backdrop of the story is that Jesus told his disciples, let us get into the boat and let's go to the other side. Our text says, Brother Blue, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 24. It says, behold, that as they went to the other side, as they were on their way, behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the sea or the ship was covered with the waves. Now that word tempest in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 24, that word tempest is the word that we get seismograph from. In other words, there was a violent shaking. You know, a seismograph detects the earthquakes. And so there was a violent shaking. Anybody ever been there, done that? Anybody ever had some violent shaking in your life? In fact, one person said this could have been literally for those fishermen and those Jews. They knew the severity of storms and the nautical patterns of the lakes and the shores and the seas of that area. And this to them could have been classified as the perfect storm. And in the midst of this storm, two things was happening. Number one, the Lord was sleeping. And number two, the disciples were straining. And what you could say is this, during this perfect storm, the Lord was trusting and the disciples were doubting. And go to Mark chapter 4 and verse 38. Mark chapter 4 and verse 38. And this is what happened here in the other gospel. And Mark 4 and 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said unto him, Master, do you not care that we perish? Do you not care about what I'm facing? Do you not care? Sounds like to me they were having some trust issues. But my friend, I want you to trust God in the storm tonight. I want you to trust God. If you're in a storm, you can trust God. If you're in the valley, you can trust God. If you're in the doctor's office, you can trust God. If you're in a court of law, you can trust God. If you're in confusion, you can trust God. If you're trying to start a business, you can trust God. If you got straying children out in the world, Sister Cricket, you can trust God. If you are dealing with confusion, you can trust God. If you are dealing with craziness on the job, you can trust God. If you watch the evening news, just remember, you can trust God. You are blessed and highly favored. He is not asleep. He is very much awake. And we're headed to the other side. And I'm going to choose to trust my Lord. Give him a hand of affirmation tonight. I choose trust. Amen. It's a choice now. You got to choose to trust God. I didn't say you have to feel like trusting God. You have to choose to trust God. And I want to give you three things tonight. First of all, notice the destination. Somebody say the destination. If you'll go back to Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. One of my favorite scriptures. It says here in Mark chapter 4 and verse 35 that at the same day when evening was come, He said unto them, read those last few words, let us pass over to the other side. God does not want us to stand still. God doesn't want us to be saved, satisfied, petrified, sitting on the pew, crankified. He wants us to be going ever forward. Let us go to the other side. God has a destination for you. God has a place He wants to take you. In fact, you can turn around and tell somebody, you're going places. Amen, Sister Debbie? You're going places. I said, you're going places. Hallelujah. God has a plan. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your marriage. He has a plan for your ministry. He has a plan for your future. And I know the storms will arise and come up, but no matter the scare, no matter the situation, no matter the storm or the weather forecast, if He says we're going over, we're going over. He didn't say to the disciples, you know, if you guys are good enough, if you guys can hang on, if you guys can figure it all out, we might get over to the... No! He looked at them. He knew they would struggle. He knew that they would fail. But He said to them, let us go over to the other side. We are not staying where we are. We're moving on in Jesus' name. I'm not staying on this shore of hurt, this shore of confusion. I'm saying goodbye to the past. If somebody hurt my feelings, then I'm still going to go on to the other side. I don't care what the doctor said. I'm moving on to the other side. I don't care what the impossibilities look like. Praise God, I'm moving on to that destination, to the other side. Nobody's going to hold me back. You can fold your arms, look at me. You can doubt and cry and be pessimistic and put a bad post on Facebook. I don't care. I'm going on to the other side. Somebody give Him a hand of praise tonight. I'm going on. This church is moving on to the other side. Oh, hallelujah. People want to keep the church. Yes. Oh, we're just going to keep it like it always has been. And there's some things that will never change at Westmoreland Church. We'll never change our desire for doctrine and Pentecostal services. And we'll not bow down to the terrible aspects of some of the church growth movement who have thrown the Bible out. One of the leading church growth preachers who, if I were to call his name, you would probably recognize his name, made a statement the other day that we've got to unhitch from the Old Testament. My friend, that is heresy, and I'm not going to unhitch from anything. Every word of God is true. From Genesis to Revelation, I'm not unhitching from nothing. I'm hitching to the Word of God. I believe the Old Testament. I believe the New Testament. And listen, but I'm here to tell you, we can't stay where we are. We can't just keep on keeping on doing the same things, expecting different results. We have to be innovative. We have to be studying to show ourselves approved. We have to say, God, show us the way and grow us the way. And we have to put faith without works is dead. We must move on to the other side. There's a destination. I wish somebody say amen. Now, the disciples were scared, but they should have known their Bible. Because look at Psalm 107, verse 29. Psalm 107, all the way. The disciples don't get unhitched from the Old Testament. Jesus said, these are they which speak of me. The Bible says, Paul said in Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Oh my goodness, what this preacher is trying to do is say there's some things in the Old Testament the world doesn't like. And we better not say a lot of those things in the Old Testament, because Christ did away with the Old Testament. He never said, I did away with the Old Testament. He didn't say, I come to do away with the Old Testament. He was the author of the Old Testament. He said, I come to fulfill the Old Testament. Oh, thank God for the old and the new. Thank God. It is the word. Oh, I'm getting off on a sidetrack here. Psalm 107. Is that a good sidetrack or not? The B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. And I preach the entirety of the Word of God. And I'm not ashamed of any passage of any scripture. I'm not ashamed of any doctrine. And people say, well, that's not very politically correct in 2018. No, it's not that you're, this is wrong, it's we're wrong. Let's preach the book, let's live the book. And when Jesus says we're going to do something, trust Him. I trust the Bible. I am what it says I am. Amen. I can do what it says I can do. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 107, verse 29. Here's what they should have remembered this. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. You see, if they had just remembered that scripture, when those waves began to beat, and when they should have known, he said, we're going to the other side. Now, we've got a storm going on here, so obviously, either the storm's going to kill us, or God is going to keep his word. And how many of you know God is not going to not keep his word? And somebody should have said, well, I know it's rocking and rolling, and I know the flashing of the lightning, and I know the tempest, the seismograph, the perfect storm. But here's the perfect scripture for the perfect storm. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the way they should have instead of waking up Jesus and saying, Jesus, do you care that we perish? They should have woke up and said, hey, Jesus, why don't you fulfill that scripture you said 2,000 years ago in the psalmist? And of course, he would have, and he did do it anyway. He made the storm calm and the waves thereof still. You can choose to trust God in the storm. Then are they glad and they be quiet. So that, go to verse 30. So he bringeth them. Verse 30, Psalm 107, verse 30. He bringeth them to their desired haven. Verse 31, read that out loud. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works unto the children of men. He's going to get you to the destination. You've got to choose to trust the Lord. Amen. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. I don't have time to tell you about Paul. I don't tell how that God told him he was going to a destination. He endured a slow sail, a shipwreck, and a snake bite. That's a whole sermon. Slow sail, took him forever. Shipwreck, I mean, the shipwreck. Even though God said he was going to, but Paul said, hey, the ship's going to wreck, but we're not going to wreck. Not a one of us is going to lose our life. Why, Paul? Because God is going to take us to our desired destination. Well, what are we going to do? Trust God. Well, how do you know? Because there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whose I'm served, saying, fear not, and I choose to trust. That's what Paul said. But Paul, you sure? I trust the Lord. And then he had to deal with a snake bite. Don't you know sometimes things does get worse before they get better? You remember that snake? He was gathering some sticks, and the snake latched on to him. You know, we've heard those sermons, and the pastor has preached them, and I've preached them, and different ones have sung about them. But, you know, that snake trying to latch on, and you remember what Paul did? He just shook it off. And I can see all those heathen around there. Those heathen lived with those poisonous snakes. They knew that once that snake hit you, you were good as dead. And they were watching him, waiting for him to die. I'm going to pause right here because I feel a little preach coming. There's a lot of people around these parts waiting for, wonder if they're going to make it over there. wonder if they're going to, you know, I'm not, I got to be careful what I say because I don't want to sound, unkind. But there are times when people think, well, that church ain't going to survive, you know, because they've had this to happen and this one to do this and that one. Let me tell you something. When you're in the plan of God and you're in the will of God, shake that snake off. Because, brother, you're going on to the other side. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Shake that snake off. I choose to trust God. And when that man didn't drop dead, guess who had undivided attention? And those heathens were ready to listen. This man must be a god. No, I'm not a god. I just choose to trust the living God. And let me tell you about it. And before he left that island, what was meant for evil turned out for good. And there are Christians on that island to this day. Why? Because God will get you to your desired haven. Don't take a detour. Don't listen to Dr. Phil or psychologists. Now, Dr. Phil's not always bad. I'm not saying that. And don't listen to your friends and social media and the latest trends out of Hollywood and scenes that we see in movies that seem to feel so right, but they're really terribly wrong. Listen to the voice of the Lord. Follow His direction and choose to trust Him. Can you say amen? The songwriter said, God works in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. He plants his foot on every wave. Y'all don't know that old Southern gospel song? And he rides out every storm. Y'all don't know that? Raise your hand if you never heard that. Raise your hand if you've heard it. Come on. Okay, so 50-50. The old song of the church says, God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his foot on every wave, and he rides out every storm. You're going to make it to your promised destination. And I'm going to throw this in here for free. In the sweet by and by, we're going to make it to our eternal destination. And when it's all said and done, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You chose to trust me, and we're going to cross old Chile Jordan. Paul said, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. He did not say the time of my death is at hand. He said the time of my departure. That's a nautical term. That means I'm going over. I'm going over. Hallelujah. God's going to bring me over in this world, and he's going to one day take me on over in the next world. If I'll choose to trust him, heaven is a great reward. Amen? Yes. Be faithful to God. Yes. Heaven, I don't want to lose heaven for some crazy stuff and taking and failing to trust God and going my own way. Amen? Amen. Heaven, happy home above. Amen. Where the wicked cease their troubling and the weary are at rest. Number two, choose to trust not only when it doesn't look good headed to your destination, but number two, consider desperation. They were all worried. They were in a desperate situation. There used to be a TV show called Desperate Housewives. These were not desperate housewives. These were desperate seamen. And Jesus was asleep. And that ought to tell you something right there. It reminded me of a T-shirt I saw one time in a movie. I'm a bomb maker. If you see me running, you might want to try to catch up. I mean, this guy makes bombs, and if he's running, you might need to follow. Because something's going bad wrong. Quick. Well, let me throw this back into the boat. If he's sleeping and outside is storming, why don't you just go to sleep too? Amen. Just do what he does. He's the one in charge. Listen, I want to tell you something very important. God is not sitting in heaven wringing his hands, and the Holy Trinity is not in emergency session. Oh, some of you think the Holy Trinity has called an emergency session. Boy, this is an impossibility. No, I want you to know that God is on the ship and you're going to the other side despite the desperate situation. You see, they were looking at God through their circumstances rather than looking at their circumstances through God. They were looking at God through their circumstances rather than looking at their circumstances through God. And so they were saying, Lord, you're asleep. All this wind is blowing. And what they should have been looking at was these circumstances. They should have been saying, oh, he's down there asleep. Everything's going to be all right. You see, his disciples came to him and said, Lord, save us, we perish. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake and said, Master, do you care that we, do you care? Do you care? It's a terrible thing to think nobody cares about you. It's a terrible thing to think that people don't care about you. That family don't care about you. But don't ever ask God, Lord, do you care about me? Do you know he cares about you? He cares about you intimately. The Bible says that he counts and he knows the number of the hair on your head. How many of you know that's intimate? Every now and then, just remind yourself, now wait a minute. He numbers the hair on my head. He's got to know what I'm about to face and what I'm going through. He cares about you intimately. Every breath you take, the Bible says every tear he puts in a bottle, he intimately knows you're going in, you're going out. He formed you in your mother's womb, the intricate details of creation. Even though God has billions and billions and billions of creatures called mankind, I'll tell you, each and every one of them, he intimately knows, because that's what God can do. He knows me as good as he knows somebody in Russia. He knows me as good as he knows anybody else. The Lord knows me intimately. And he not only knows me intimately, he cares about me affectionately. Affectionately, the word affect. So whatever affects me affects him. The Bible says, if you touch me, you touch the apple of God's eye. So keep your hands off. Amen. You're only hurting yourself. Amen. Don't give up on the child of God. Be careful, because if you touch one of God's children, you're actually touching the apple of his eye. And I'm going to tell you, I don't like it when people put their finger in my face, let alone my eyes. Somebody say amen. He cares about us affectionately. He cares about us passionately. He doesn't just sit up there and say, No, he gets concerned. He gets roused up. He gets moved. The Bible says he was moved with compassion. The Bible says Jesus wept. I want you to know he's a compassionate and a passionate God Almighty. Now, he may wait and he may not resolve things on your timetable, but I'll tell you what, he is a passionate God. If you don't think he's a passionate God, then watch the Passion of the Christ and see him passionately pray and passionately die for you and for me. He cares about me intimately. He cares about me affectionately. He cares about me passionately, and he cares about me continually. Amen. Every second of every day. He that keeps me neither slumbers nor sleep. Somebody said, well, Jesus was on the boat asleep, so God was asleep. God never slept. Humanity slept. Jesus was fully God and fully human. Do what you were talking about that a little earlier in the service. There's just nobody like Jesus. He wasn't half God and half human. He was fully God and fully human. You say, well, how could that happen? I don't know. I graduated from East Carolina. They never had a class on that. Did I tell you not Sunday night? You remind your neighbor, you have 4 pounds of brain matter. Now, don't do it just like that. I mean, we're just not going to figure some of this stuff out. Amen. And so, just trust me. He was fully God. Say that. Fully God. And fully man. As a man, he slept. As God, he never slept. He was as awake and as alert as he's ever been. Deity cannot sleep. Humanity, he did sleep. And I want you to know that every minute of every second of every day, even at night, when you're asleep at night, God is up taking care of things. When you get up in the morning, it's hello, Lord. And when you go to bed, it's good night, Lord. But he is still up. He is still working in ways we don't know. Continually. The Bible says that we can come boldly into the throne of grace. Morning, noon, or night. You don't have to wait for a special time. You don't have to wait for a special place. Right now, in the moment, God is there. He cares about us continually. Say amen. Amen. He cares about us personally. You remember the three Hebrew boys? They chose to trust God, didn't they? Of Nebuchadnezzar, we're not going to bow. Why not? Because we choose to trust God. Well, you're going to get burned alive. We choose to trust God. He is able to deliver us. But if not, we choose to trust God. I really believe, if you study it, they knew they were going to be delivered. They would be delivered from the fire, or they'd be delivered in the fire. Amen. Because even if God had chosen and they died in that fire, they still would have been delivered. Of whom the world is not worthy. Sometimes in living we glorify him. Sometimes in dying we glorify him. And by the way, I do believe that God will bless us with long life. And I do believe that we can die in his timing, in the presence of the Lord. He cares about us personally. But if they try to kill us as Christians, if they try to persecute us as Christians, and we die, it is not because the Lord shortened our life, it is because men have free choice, and we are delivered in life or we're delivered in death. Can I get a witness out there? And I'll remind you that we're in a comfortable church in a country called America, and I promise you that in many, many places in this world tonight that people do die and people do give their life. In fact, I was when I was pastoring down in Kinston, we had a lady that went to Kyrgyzstan, and she preached there, and a Muslim got saved, and they baptized him, and he fiercely began to persecute him, and I understand that he was killed sometime after that. So, friend, whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. But either way, what is it? He cares about us personally. We are the Lord's. So you can trust him in your living. You can trust him when that time comes for dying. Oh, my friend, as the old sage said, death ain't no big deal. God is the Lord of living and the Lord of the dying. Thank you, Father, for that. And in their desperation, listen, he cares about us intimately. He cares about us affectionately. He cares about us passionately. And he cares about us continually. And he cares about us personally. And he cares about us eternally. And you can flip this around. You can trust him intimately. You can trust him with the intimate details of your life. We need to pray about more things. God wants to know, you know, everything. Lord, should I do this? Should I not do that? How should I handle this situation? What about this family crisis that's coming up? Lord, how do you want me to handle this? Can we just take time to stop and pray and say, Lord, what will be pleasing to you? You care about us intimately. Show me the way and don't let me mess it up. And all of God's people said, amen. He cares about it. You can trust him affectionately. You can trust him passionately. You can trust him continually. You can trust him personally. And thank you, Father, we can trust you eternally. Amen and amen. They went to the right source. They went to Jesus. They said, Master, carest that we perish. They called out to him. And in your desperation, learn to call out to him. Learn to cry out to him. Learn to trust. Learn to pray. Psalm 56 and verse 3 says, what time I am afraid. Go to Psalm 56 and verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And then they chose to trust him for their destination. They chose to trust him in their desperation. And let me tell you, as I close this message tonight, because when you trust him in your destination, when you trust him in your desperation, let me tell you what you're going to find. Number point three, you're going to find that you can trust him in the demonstration. Amen. Go back to Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26. Go back. I want to show you this because this is going to bless you. Amen. If you're there, say amen. Matthew 26 and 27. And he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was a great calm. And the men said, what manner of man is this? Oh, my. Go to Psalm 89 and verse 9. Psalm 89 and verse 9. Let me tell you, the storm arose, but then he arose. Oh, Psalm 89 and verse 9. I want you to know that he made a demonstration. He arose. You can trust him because he will arise and your enemies will be scattered. I want you to know Psalm 89 and verse 9 says, thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, that we would quote the scripture. Oh, it said he arose. The storm arose, then he arose. Look at Matthew chapter 8 and verse 24. Matthew 8 and verse 24. I'm going all over from Psalms to Matthew. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 24. And behold, there arose. Now go to verse 26. Go to verse 26. Thumbs up. Then he arose. And he said to them, why are you so fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose. I'll tell you, let the storm rise. Let the heathen imagine a vain thing, and the rulers of the earth come together and take counsel. And the Bible says the Lord will have them in derision. Let me tell you, let demons rise, but he will rise, and his enemies will be scattered. Somebody give him praise here tonight. I said, let God arise. Trust him, and he will arise. I like what the old preacher said. A puddle of water cannot frustrate the omnipotence of God. Another one said, when Jesus said, peace be still, it literally means hush. Someone else said, the old storm, like a raging beast, got hit by a tranquilizer and fell dead. Another old preacher said, the old storm was like a whipped puppy and went whimpering away. Hallelujah. Oh, give him a praise tonight. I said you're going to see a demonstration. Trust him, love him, serve him, pay your tithes, go to church, forgive when people hurt your feelings. My goodness, let the past be over. This is a new day. Let God arise. Let faith arise. We are headed to our destination. We're going to see a demonstration. We're going to make it through our desperation. We're going to choose to trust the Lord, trust and obey. I said there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust. I'll tell you, you need to trust him in the storm. You need to trust him in the valley. That's how I started. I'm going to end it. You need to trust him in the doctor's office. You need to trust him in the breakup of a relationship that was hurtful. You need to trust him when the evening is come and we're in the grave, because there ain't no grave going to hold this body down. I choose to trust the Lord. Turn around and tell somebody, he didn't come to take you under. He came to take you over. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Verse 1, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Amen. Verse 2, not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but his smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. You like that? That's the third verse. Then in fellowship sweet, while we sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way, what he says we will do, where he sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Now sing the chorus with me. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Sing it again. Oh, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon each promise, and to know, thus saith the Lord, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for what? Grace. To what? Trust him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge beneath the healing, cleansing flood. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self-deceits, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. By the way, when you don't choose to trust the Lord, what you're choosing in by default is fear and anxiety, heartache and sorrow. Can I get a wisdom? Can I get an amen out there? I'm wanting you to choose to trust the Lord. Well, I don't understand. Choose to trust the Lord. Sometimes we have what we call blessings in disguise. A certain thing didn't work out like we thought it should work out, and it turns out to be a blessing. Say that with me, a blessing in disguise. That sounds like a good sermon title. If y'all hear me preach that, you know I just got it right here tonight. A blessing in disguise. I know sometimes we have our hearts set on things, but we've got to choose to trust the Lord. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior and friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me. How long? To the end, to the end, to the end. I got one more thing I'm going to say, and then we're going to sing tonight. Let's welcome all of our young people back tonight. Amen. Good to have you back in the service. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You Royal Rangers excited about that fort coming open? Yeah. All right. All right. I preach tonight on I Choose to Trust. I chose to trust God with my marriage partner 24 years ago. And I promise you it was a struggle because I had to have certain things that I was looking for. I wanted a godly woman. I wanted a woman that was in church. And I know as a young person, sometimes we can get carried away with relationships. But I chose to trust God. I chose to trust God. I remember one year I made a vow to the Lord that I would spend the whole year. Get ready. This is going to be funny. I said, I'm going to spend a whole year, and I'm not going to date anybody. I'm just going to trust God. And I did good for 7 months. And then I started dating a young lady named Sanja. I better not call her name out. Amen. She was in Falcon Camp meeting. Glory to God. Praise God. I ain't going to tell you. Oh, she's a great young lady. Amen. But I did make a choice. And I asked God to please help me to honor you with my decisions. And I remember when I was going, listen to this now. And then I'm gonna close with an illustration. But I thought, man, I need to go to Holmes Bible College. That's the logical choice. I feel called to preach. And I wanted to go to Holmes Bible College. Man, I wanted to get down there and be around a place where I could study the Bible all day, pray, and go to church all the time. And I had gone to East Carolina for 1 year, and I told my mom and dad, I said, I'm going to Holmes Bible College in fall of 1991. And so I bought me my aunt's station wagon, and I'm sending my application. I sent in my application. But somewhere in there just didn't feel right. But I'm like, well, it didn't make sense because that's Bible school and it's Pentecostal Holiness. I wanted to go to a Pentecostal Holiness Bible school. And I remember I sent my application in, got my references, and I made a choice, but I was praying. I said, Lord, I want your will done in my life. I want to go to Bible school, Holmes Bible College, but you do what you want to do. And I remember I waited all through May. I waited all through June. And people said, what are you going to do in fall? I'm going to Holmes Bible College. Going to Holmes Bible College. Going to Holmes Bible College. And I remember in the middle of July, I went to bed one night, and I could not sleep. I tossed and I turned, and it was like, go back to East Carolina. Go back to East Carolina. Go back to East Carolina. And I was arguing with myself. I'm like, why go back to East Carolina? That's a heathen school. That's a bunch of redneck, rebellious, sin-laden. I mean, I used every adjective in there, every holier-than-thou I could come up with. And about 3 or 4 in the morning, I said, okay, I'm going to go back to East Carolina. And I'm telling you, Pastor Jerry, I fell asleep, and I slept peaceful the rest of the night. And I got up, and about 11 o'clock, I got a phone call. Well, it was from East Carolina. The lady said, Ricky, are you coming back to East Carolina? And had she called me the day before, I'd have said, you know what? What would I have told her? Y'all know? No, I'm going to Holmes. But she called me. She said, are you coming back to East Carolina? I said, yeah, I'm coming back to East Carolina. She said, well, I got two places to put you for the dorms. And she said, you can either go to, the other one you were staying at is being worked on. You can either go to Scott Residence Hall or Jarvis Residence Hall. Which one do you want? And I sat in there and my mouth dropped. Because Commander Phillip, out of the 18 dormitories at East Carolina at that time, only two of them had air conditioning. And I said, put me in Scott Residence Hall. I'm on my way to East Carolina. Trust and obey. Give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight. You can choose to trust him. And I said, I was unpacking my car. This is what happened when you can't call a piano player. You get on and on and on here. But Ricky, come to the piano. I will. All right. Pastor Ricky, come on up. But listen, I was unpacking my car, loading up, unloading to the Scott dorm, the air-conditioned dorm, and my mama called the dorm room. I said, Ricky, she said, you won't believe it, but Holmes Bible College called you today and want to know where you were. I said, well, Mama, what'd you tell them? I told them that you had applied and you never heard back. And I said, well, what did they say? And Mama said they had your room ready. They had your name on the door. I said, well, too late. God done stepped in. And I went to East Carolina, met T.L. Byrd, became my mentor. I married Darnell Nims. And now I'm at Westmoreland Church. I said, trust and obey. There is no other way. You young people, hear me. Learn to trust God. I know everybody says do this, do this, do that. I know it makes sense sometimes. Do this, do that. And we should use wisdom. But let me tell you, at the end of the day, you need to pray and trust and obey. A little boy one time, and Pastor, if you'll come on up and give the people hope here that I'm going to get done. But a little boy was playing with his ship on the edge of the lake. I'm sure some of you guys have put a little boat on the water there. But the little boat began to get too far away and he couldn't reach out and grab the boat. And so he was like, how am I going to get my boat? And he had an ingenious idea. He took a rock, he threw it just beyond the boat, and the ripples of the waves began to move the boat back a little bit. Then he threw another rock, and the ripples of the wave moved the boat back. He threw another rock, and the ripples of the wave brought the boat into his hand. And friends, can I tell you, sometimes the storms and the waves that seem to be doing us the most harm are really just bringing us closer to his hand. Would you stand with me tonight? Tis so sweet. Go ahead. D chord. Okay.
Mm-hmm. In light of what he's been preaching tonight, we're going to sing this old song, Pastor Ray and I. He was talking about hearing a voice and making a choice. D chord. One day I heard a voice. He said, if you make me